Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. You're listening to the Qalam podcast. Alhamdulillah, for over a decade, Qalam has had the opportunity and the blessing to serve the community. And after serving the community for an entire decade and benefiting millions of people all around the world, we have reaffirmed our commitment to making Islamic knowledge accessible for all, making sure each and every single person, no matter where they are in the world, they have the ability and the opportunity to learn about the beauty of Islam. So therefore, we are conducting more classes online than ever before, videos, podcasts, recordings, we're making all of it available. We ask you to support us and become our partner in this mission and cause of educating the whole world about the beautiful religion of Islam by going to supportqalam.com. Go to supportqalam.com, make a generous contribution. Inshallah, you are investing into the mission and the cause of teaching people about Islam worldwide. Millions of people have benefited, and we hope that hundreds of millions more will benefit, inshallah. Jazakumullahu khairan. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Okay, bismillahi walhamdulillah wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillahi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Welcome back to another session of Tafsir al-Quran, where we go through and study the meaning of the Book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Today, inshallah, we are, of course, continuing with Surah Al-Baqarah, which we've been studying. And inshallah, the goal, the objective today is to cover verse number, ayah number 124. So as we always do, I will begin with the recitation of the verse that we're going to be discussing, inshallah. After that, I will read from one of the translations of the Quran. And after that, we'll go further into discussion about the meaning of the verse and the lessons that we can take from there. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم وإذ ابتلى إبراهيم ربه بكلمات فأتمهن قال إني جاعلك للناس إماما قال ومن ذريتي قال لا ينال عهد الظالمين. Now the translation of the ayah: when Abraham's Lord tested him with certain commandments, which he fulfilled, he said, I will make you a leader of people. Abraham asked, and will you make leaders from my descendants too? God answered, my pledge does not hold for those who do evil. So today we're studying just this one ayah because of, you know, how much there is to unpack and discuss and learn here. And I just felt it was appropriate to be able to properly study the meaning and the tafsir of this one particular ayah today. So the first thing, as we always do when we get to the tafsir and the discussion portion, is I like to talk about any kind of background that there might be to the ayah, sabab al-nuzul, a circumstance of revelation. There's nothing to that effect in regards to this ayah. The second thing is, how does this fit in with the overall message of Surah Al-Baqarah? How does this fit in with the passages, the passage before this, and what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was addressing in the previous verses? So, as we talked about in the previous session concluded the big section of Surah Al-Baqarah, in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about Bani Israel and everything that transpired with them. And so, after talking about Bani Israel, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala now mentions Ibrahim alayhi salam. Why? Because Bani Israel, even the name that is given to them, they are referred to as the children of Israel. Israel is one of the names of Ya'qub alayhi salam, the prophet Jacob, Ya'qub alayhi salam. Ya'qub alayhi salam is, of course, the grandson of Ibrahim alayhi salam. He is the son of Ishaq, who is the son of Ibrahim alayhi salam. And so after mentioning Bani Israel, which of course you know, refers to the Ahlul Kitab, right? The people at the time, Musa alayhi salam, of course, the Jewish religion, and then after that, those who followed and believed in Isa alayhi salam, so you have the Christian religion. So all of them, their spiritual lineage can all be traced back to Ibrahim alayhi salam. And that's why we've heard of the phrase is quite, you know, popular, where they call it Abrahamic faiths. And what that basically refers to is that Ibrahim alayhi salam is a figure that all, that everyone, Jews, Christians, and Muslims, all recognize, they all respect, and they all hold in great esteem. Not only that, but something else that's really fascinating about Ibrahim alayhi salam is that the Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam was someone who was even recognized and revered by the Mushrikeen of Mecca. The Mushrikeen of Mecca were polytheists, they were idol worshippers. So in that sense, they were not really adherents of any sort or any semblance of a revealed religion. While the Christians and the Jews, the Quran tells us, يُحَرِّفُونَ الْكَلِيمَ عَمَّ مَوَاضِعِهِ وَنَسُوا حَظًّا مِمَّا ذُكِرُوا بِهِ, that they had altered and changed, you know, their deen and their religion and their scripture. Nonetheless, it's still a basic, it's still some loose semblance of an adherence to a revealed religion. They grasp the concept of God, angels, scripture, revealed books, prophets and messengers, reckoning, judgment, the hereafter, so on and so forth. But the Mushrikeen of Mecca were not of that, you know, same understanding. They worshipped idols. They didn't believe that there was a hereafter, resurrection, life after death. So in spite of that, because they were residents of Mecca, because they revered the Kaaba, they recognized the figure of Ibrahim alayhi salam as being their forefather. And they held him in great reverence and respect. And so by referencing Ibrahim alayhi salam here, number one, you have Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala now talking about, you know, the other religious traditions, that who exactly is Ibrahim? What exactly is your spiritual heritage? You might have this distorted, twisted version that you are clinging to at the moment, but what is your actual spiritual heritage? And it also pulls in the mushrikeen of Mecca and Arabia, because they all recognize the sacredness of the Kaaba. They recognize that Ibrahim is a revered figure. And so it also draws and pulls them in as well, that this, you know, heritage that you are also clinging to of Ibrahim, this is truly the legacy of Ibrahim alayhi salam. What Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam is calling you to is the true actual legacy of Ibrahim alayhi salam. And that is, of course, spoken about in the Quran, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Millata abikum Ibrahim, that what Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam has come with, the Quran, the Prophet, the message of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that is the true legacy, religious, spiritual legacy in the way of Ibrahim alayhi salam, who was sammakum al-Muslimin, that he named you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has named you Muslims. And Ibrahim alayhi salam is of course spoken about throughout the Quran, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us about the true legacy of Ibrahim alayhi salam and how the Prophet sallallahu alayhi salam is a continuation and in fact the fulfillment of the dua, the supplication and the legacy of Ibrahim alayhi salam. We're about to get to the ayat very shortly, where Ibrahim alayhi salam prays, makes a dua, that Allah send amongst them a messenger. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, "Ana da'watu abi Ibrahim," that I am the answer of that dua, that supplication of my forefather Abraham. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in Surah An-Nahl, Surah number 16, ayahs 120 through 123, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Inna Ibrahima كان أمة قانتا لله حنيفة ولم يكن من المشركين. That Ibrahim عليه السلام was an ummah unto himself. He was very devout and obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. حنيفاً, he solely and only worshipped one God, one creator. ولم يكن من المشركين. And he was not from the polytheists. شاكراً لأنعمه. He was very grateful for the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. اجتباه وهداه إلى صراط مستقيم. Allah chose him and Allah guided him to the straight path. وآتيناه في الدنيا حسنة. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, we granted to him in the dunya goodness. وإنه في الآخرة لمن الصالحين. And indeed in the hereafter he will be from the righteous servants of God. ثم أوحينا إليك. And then we revealed to you, we inspired to you, O Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, أن اتبع ملة إبراهيم حنيفا, that you should follow the way and the legacy and the religion of Ibrahim عليه السلام, which is the worship of only one God. وما كان من المشركين, for Ibrahim was not a polytheist. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also tells us in Surah Al-An'am, ayah number 161, قُلْ إِنَّنِي هَدَانِي رَبِّي إِلَى صِرَاطٍ مُسْتَقِيمٍ. Say that my Lord has guided me to the straight path, دِينًا قِيَمًا, that this is the correct religion. مِلَّةَ إِبْرَاهِيمَ حَنِيفًا, and it is the legacy and the way of Ibrahim, which is the worship of only one God, monotheism. وَمَا كَانَ مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ, and he was not a polytheist. And in Surah Ali Imran, Surah number 3, ayahs 67 and 68, Allah says, مَا كَانَ إِبْرَاهِيمُ يَهُودِيًا وَلَا نَصْرَانِيًّا, that Abraham was not a Jew nor was he a Christian. وَلَكِنْ كَانَ حَنِيفًا مُسْلِمًا, rather he was a monotheist, he was a worshipper of one God, مُسْلِمًا, and he was fully submitted to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَمَا كَانَ مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ, and he was not from the polytheists. إِنَّ أَوْلَى النَّاسِ بِإِبْرَاهِيمَ لَلَّذِينَ اتَّبَعُوهُ وَهَذَا النَّبِيُّ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that the people who have the greatest affiliation to Ibrahim alayhi salam are indeed those people who follow the way of Ibrahim, and that is this Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and those who believe in him and with him. Wallahu waliyul mu'mineen, and Allah indeed is the ally of the believers. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala furthermore tells us in Surah An-Nahl, again Surah number 16, in Surah Al-Baqarah, ayah number 130, which we're about to get to very soon, but it's relevant here as well. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَنْ يَرْغَبُ عَنْ مِلَّةِ إِبْرَاهِيمَ إِلَّا مَنْ سَفِيهَ نَفْسَهُ, that anyway, anyone who turns away from the way of Ibrahim alayhi salam, the religion of Ibrahim alayhi salam, is someone who is fooling and deluding themselves. So this is the coherence in how this verse is now continuing the conversation from where we left off. So now let's take a look at the actual ayah and understand exactly what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, you know, telling us here. Allah says, وَإِذِ بِتَلَى إِبْرَاهِيمَ رَبُّهُ بِكَلِمَاتٍ. Okay, that remember when. The word idh refers to something that occurred in the past. It refers to something in the past. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, remember when Ibrahim's Lord tested Ibrahim. Ibrahim's Lord tested Ibrahim. And there's something very interesting and very beautiful. In simple sentence structure, it could have been said, وَإِذِ ابْتَلَىٰ الرَّبُّ إِبْرَاهِيمَ. Okay, or even Allahu, وَإِذِ ابْتَلَىٰ اللَّهُ إِبْرَاهِيمَ. That's very simple sentence structure. Okay, basic, which would translate as when God tested Abraham. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says it in a very sophisticated, beautiful, eloquent way, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings the object of the verb before the subject of the verb, right? The doer is delayed. And the reason for doing that is that allows Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, number one, to be referred to with the title Rabb, who is the master, the Lord and the master, the one who provides, the one who creates, the one who provides, the one who sustains, the one who maintains, the one who protects, the one who guides. And not only that, but it allows, it refers to Allah as Ibrahim's master, Ibrahim's Rabb. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about testing Ibrahim. The word ibtila means to test. Okay? And by mentioning testing, you know, someone could, but just by hearing the word test, someone can get the wrong message, because sometimes you might test someone and the test is very severe. The test is very harsh. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by saying that when Ibrahim was tested by his master, his Rabb, that allows you to understand that Allah is the one who created Ibrahim, took care of Ibrahim, looked after Ibrahim, and gave Ibrahim everything that he needed, and then tested him. So it allows us to understand that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put Ibrahim in a position to succeed. This was not a gotcha kind of test, where you're trying to catch someone, you're trying to fail someone. But rather, it's the kind of test that allows someone to pass with flying colors. It allows someone to shine in that moment. It allows someone to really succeed in that situation. وَإِذِ ابْتَلَىٰ إِبْرَاهِيمَ رَبُّهُ. So when Ibrahim's Lord, his master, he tested him. But then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, he tested him بِكَلِمَاتٍ, with some words. Okay, now what does that exactly mean, with some words? He tested him with some words. So this is something that has been, you know, discussed by many of the commentators of the Quran. Many of the Mufassirin have talked about this. So what exactly were the tests? So the word kalimatin, it occurs other places in the Quran and also very interesting meanings. When Allah is speaking about Maryam, salamun alayha, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَصَدَّقَتْ بِكَلِمَاتِ رَبِّهَا وَكُتُبِهِ وَكَانَتْ مِنَ الْقَانِتِينَ. In Surah Al-Tahrim, Surah number 66, ayah number 12, that she fulfilled the words of her Lord. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in Surah Al-An'am, ayah number 115, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَتَمَّتْ كَلِمَةُ رَبِّكَ صِدْقًا وَعَدَلًا لَا مُبَدِّلَ لِكَلِمَاتِهِ. That the word of your Lord is complete in truthfulness and in fairness and justice. لَا مُبَدِّلَ لِكَلِمَاتِهِ. Nothing changes the words of your Lord. And the scholars explain that over here it means the instructions of your Lord, the judgments of your Lord, the decree of your Lord. Nobody, nothing has the power to change that, to affect that. And so the scholars have explained that this could be referring to a number of things. Number one, it could be referring to the commandments that were given to Ibrahim, right? Ibrahim alayhi salam, he was given the commandments. He was given a certain code to live by, and Allah is saying he fulfilled that code. He lived in accordance to the instruction from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah An-Najm, Surah number 53, ayah number 37, he says, وَإِبْرَاهِيمَ الَّذِي وَفَّى. Ibrahim was the one who fulfilled the instruction of his Lord. Some scholars mentioned that this can also be referring and alluding to, what alludes to what this is talking about is a hadith that is found in Sahih Muslim and other books of hadith, narrated by Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha, where she says that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, عَشْرٌ مِنَ الْفِطْرَةِ. There are 10 things that are from the nature of people, from the pure nature of people. قَصُّ الشَّارِبِ, referring to, of course, men folk here, it's saying that they trim their mustaches. وَإِعْفَاءُ الْلِحْيَةِ, they grow their beards. وَالسِّوَاك, and they do the siwak, they clean their teeth. The next one is number four, إِسْتِنْشَاقُ الْمَاء, they clean their nose with water. وَقَصُّ الْأَظْفَارِ, they clip their nails. وَغَصُّ الْبَرَاجِمِ, and they clean either between their fingers and also clean their joints. وَحَلْقُ الْعَانَى, they remove the hair from below the navel. وَنَتْفُ الْإِبِطِ, they remove the hair from under the armpits. وَإِنْتِقَاسُ الْمَا, And they basically scoop the water out when they are using it. And then she says, وَنَسِيتُ الْعَاشِرَةَ, she says, I forgot the 10th. But then she remembers, she says, إِلَّا أَن تَكُونَ الْمَضْمَضَةَ, that it was to rinse out the mouth with water. That Ibrahim alayhi salam practiced all these noble traditions. All right? That basically talks about hygiene and cleanliness and tahara. All right, which the Prophet ﷺ said, "Atuhuru shatrul iman," that it is literally half of faith. Some of the other scholars say that Ibn Kathir rahimahullah ta'ala mentions that it can also be referring to the, you know, reflective moment that Ibrahim alayhi salam demonstrates when he looks at the stars and he looks at the moon and he looks at the sun, and he says, "This cannot be my Lord. This cannot be my Lord. This cannot be my Lord." And then he proclaims his faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, إِنِّي وَجَّهْتُ وَجِّهِيَا لِلَّذِي فَطَرَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ حَنِيفًا, that I dedicate and devote myself completely to the one who created the heavens and the earth. Some of the scholars, Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhumah mentions, and Imam al-Tabari, the great mufassir of the Qur'an, he also says that this one seems to make the most sense, that Ibrahim alayhi salam was tested by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala بِكَلِمَاتٍ, with instructions. That the word kalimat means instructions. Allah gave him certain commandments, certain instructions that were very difficult. And Ibrahim alayhi salam fulfilled all of them. For instance, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded Ibrahim alayhi salam to leave his people when they would not believe in him and when they opposed him. He debated and argued and confronted Nimrod, the king who was, you know, forcing people to worship him. When they threw him into the fire, Ibrahim alayhi salam was patient in dealing with that great tribulation. He left his home and his country and made hijrah. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told him to go to Mecca, the place of Mecca. That was a barren valley at that time. بِوَادٍ غَيْرِ ذِي زَرْعٍ, and told him to leave his family there. And he left his family there. And then when he comes back to his family, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands him to sacrifice his son. And he's willing to go through with it, but then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prevents him from doing so. Allah stops him and spares him and doesn't make him go through with it. And so there are all these major tests, major, you know, challenges that Ibrahim alayhi salam is presented with, and Ibrahim alayhi salam fulfills all of them. And ultimately, at the end of it, many of the mufassirin of the Quran, the scholars of the Quran, the scholars of tafsir, they say it can be referring to all of the above. Why? Because لم يعين الله سبحانه وتعالى معناه, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in no place in the Quran, nor does the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam in any authentic narration ever, you know, limit the meaning of this, that this is specifically referring to this, so it can be referring to all of the above. And Allah knows best. But the point here is, فَأَتَمَّهُنَّ, he fulfilled all of them. He completed all of them. He passed all these tests with flying colors. فَأَتَمَّهُنَّ, he completed all of them. And that is, of course, part of the legacy of Ibrahim alayhi salam. That is what is amazing about Ibrahim alayhi salam, is him, you know, fulfilling all of these great challenges and passing all of these tests. And there's a couple of things to highlight here. Number one is that tests and trials, right, are, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows everything. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us Ibrahim was loyal. وَإِبْرَاهِيمَ الَّذِي وَفَى. So of course Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knew that Ibrahim is loyal. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala still tested Ibrahim alayhi salam, as Allah tells us in the Qur'an, in Surah Muhammad, وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ حَتَّى نَعْلَمَ الْمُجَاهِدِينَ مِنْكُمْ وَالصَّابِرِينَ. Alright, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, we shall test you, so that we can know who amongst you are willing to strive and fight, and who are patient. In Surah Hud, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لِيَبَلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا, so that he may test you, which of you has good deeds. And even in Surah Al-Baqarah itself, we're going to be getting to it in just a little bit, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوعِ, that indeed we shall test you with some fear and some poverty, hunger, starvation. And the purpose of the test is so that the person who goes through the test can demonstrate to others what devotion and loyalty to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala looks like. That person can know themselves that they have passed that test, and they can have faith and conviction and strength and confidence going forward in their deen, and they can also demonstrate that and illustrate that for others as well. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, we read it already in Surah Al-Baqarah, ayah number 40, وَأُوفُوا بِعَهْدِي أُوفِ بِعَهْدِكُمْ, that fulfill your covenant, my covenant, what you owe me, أُوفِ بِعَهْدِكُمْ, and I will fulfill my promise to you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about this, أَلْمُوفُونَ بِعَهْدِهِمْ إِذَا عَهَدُوا. We're going to be getting to this verse soon, verse number 177 of Surah Al-Baqarah, when Allah talks about what is piety. What is piety? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says they are those people who fulfill the oath that they have once they've made a covenant and made an oath. In Surah Al-Mu'minun, when Allah praises the believers, He says, وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ لِأَمَانَاتِهِمْ وَعَهْدِهِمْ رَاعُونَ. They are those people who keep their trust and they fulfill their promises. أَوْفُوا بِالْعُقُودِ. Allah commands us in the beginning of Surah Al-Ma'idah, fulfill your covenant, your contracts, your agreements. And in fact, Allah criticizes those who do not keep their word and do not fulfill their promises, wherein Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, كَبُرُ مَقْتًا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ أَن تَقُولُوا مَا لَا تَفْعَلُونَ, that it is indeed very displeasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when you do not do that which you say. All right, you do not hold up your end of the agreement. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, going back to the ayah, وَإِذْ ابْتَلَى إِبْرَاهِيمَ رَبُّهُ بِكَلِمَاتٍ فَأَتَمَّهُنَّ, and he fulfilled all of them. قَالَ إِنِّي جَاعِلُكَ لِلنَّاسِ إِمَامًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that I will make you a leader of the people. I will make you a leader of the people. That the outcome of all these tests and trials and you fulfilling all these tests and trials is that I will make you a leader of the people. All right? And this is something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about other places within the Quran as well. For instance, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when talking about this, He says, وَجَعَلْنَاهُمْ أَئِمَّةً يَهْدُونَ بِأَمْرِنَا لَمَّا صَبَرُوا. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that we made them leaders who would lead and who would follow our commandments, and they would lead the people based on the command from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is, once again, we were talking about the legacy of Ibrahim alayhi salam. This is where it is cemented, and that's why Ibrahim alayhi salam is such an important figure that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, so many of the sunan of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he attributed them back to Ibrahim alayhi salam. We're going to be reading the ayah that after a person makes a tawaf, وَاتَّخِذُوا مِن مَقَامِ إِبْرَاهِيمَ مُصَلَّى, then they pray at or behind the station of Abraham. So many of the rites and the rituals that are performed in Hajj are basically done in emulation and commemoration of the sacrifices of Ibrahim alayhi salam and his family. When the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam asking, ma hadhi la dhahiya Rasulullah, about the sacrifice at the occasion of Eid al-Adha, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, sunnatu abikum Ibrahim, this is the tradition of your forefather Abraham. When even the prayer that we were taught to offer, at the end and at the conclusion of the prayer, we say the salawat, send salutations upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which we refer to Ibrahim alayhi wa sallam, is called salawat Ibrahimiyya, or durud Ibrahimi. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad, kama sallaita ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim, innaka hamidun majid. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he himself saying, ana da'watu abi Ibrahim. Of course, he says that I am the answer of the dua of my forefather Abraham, Ibrahim alayhi salam. So we see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I will make you a leader of the people. And that holds firm and holds true till today, where all the major religions of the world, as I talked about, they still recognize who Ibrahim alayhi salam is and hold him in great reverence and great respect. And then Ibrahim alayhi salam, he asks a particular question. He says, قَالَ وَمِنْ ذُرِّيَّتِي And from my progeny, from my children as well. They will be leaders. There will be leaders. Now, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to Ibrahim alayhi salam that I will make you a leader of the people. And Ibrahim alayhi salam wasn't just like an imam, just a leader. He was a prophet and a messenger. So that's why many of the mufassirun and many of the scholars say that when Ibrahim alayhi salam asks about his children and his progeny and his generations to come, his offspring, he's not just asking, will they be good people or will they be leaders of people? But he's specifically asking, will there be prophets and messengers that will come from my people? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَا يَنَالُ عَهْدِي الظَّالِمِينَ That my promise does not include, does not encompass, does not, you know, give consideration to those who are ظَالِمِينَ, those who are wrongdoing, those who, and again, ظُلْم can be, you know, interpreted in a number of layers. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the shirk la dhulmun azim, that disbelief in associating partners to God is the greatest dhulm, the greatest wrong that anyone can do and commit. It also refers to just generally sinfulness, right? Sinfulness. Allahumma inni dhalamtu nafsi dhulman kathira, like the dua of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or he taught us to make, which is, oh Allah, I have wronged myself very severely, or excessively, abundantly. And dhulm also refers to oppression. So this is to say that those who disbelieve, those who associate partners to God, those who commit sins, those who are oppressive towards others are not prophets. They are not prophets, they are not messengers. That is not in the character, that is not in the tradition of the prophets. Okay, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that from your progeny, yes, there will become some leaders, but those who are not fit for that role, of course, will not be afforded that role just simply because they are from your progeny. No, that will not matter. That will not make a difference and that will not matter. And this is something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about in the Quran, other places as well. For instance, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمِن ذُرِّيَّتِهِمَا مُحْسِنٌ وَظَالِمٌ لِنَفْسِهِ مُبِينٌ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaking about humanity says that from the generations and the progeny of human beings, there are those who are righteous, who do good, and there are those who will wrong themselves, who will sin and incriminate themselves. وَظَالِمٌ لِنَفْسِهِ مُبِينٌ Very clearly. So that's what is being referred to and alluded to here, that there will be good people. And the scholars say that this is evidence of the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is here confirming that from even the progeny of Ibrahim alayhi salam in the future, there will be good people and there will be bad people. There will be some good people and there will be some bad people. And the good people will be afforded the status of good people. Many of them will be prophets and messengers, as we know is the case from the progeny of Ibrahim. And even generally speaking, they will be leaders of people and the leaders of the believers and leaders of the believing Muslim community. And then there will be bad people. And they will not be protected just simply based off of their lineage and who they are. But rather, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will deal with them and will judge them in accordance with their deeds and their actions and their beliefs. And that is what it is referring to here, that is what it's making reference to here. Now, there's a few things that are very important to talk about here. And we always, towards the end of the session, we talk about some of the takeaway points and some of the lessons that we can take from the verses that we have studied that day. So, in doing so, there's a few different things that I think is important to discuss here. Number one, is that there's a very beautiful and powerful reflection that is shared by the Mufassirin, the scholars of the Quran in the books of Tafsir, where they talk about that these qualities and these righteous deeds of Ibrahim alayhi salam, they are mentioned within the Quran. They are spoken about within the Quran itself. Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhuma, he narrates this as well, that the qualities of Ibrahim alayhi salam that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is praising can be observed within the Quran, and there are 30 characteristics that Allah mentions. 30 elements or 30 characteristics. 10 of them are mentioned in Surah At-Tawbah. 10 of them are mentioned in Surah Al-Mu'minun, Surah number 23. And 10 of them are mentioned in Surah Al-Ahzab, Surah number 33. So as for the one mentioned in Surah At-Tawbah, Surah number 9, it's verse number 112. At-Ta'ibun, those who repent. Al-Abidun, those who worship. Al-Hamidun, those who praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as He deserves to be praised. As-Sa'ihun, that those who keep fast. Ar-Raki'un, those who bow in front of Allah. As-Sajidun, those who prostrate, put their face on the ground in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. Al-Amiruna bil-Ma'roof, those who enjoin good. Wa-Nahuna anil munkar, those who forbid evil. Al-Hafiduna li-Hududillah, those who preserve the boundaries of God. وَبَشِّرِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ, Allah says, congratulate them, for they are believers. In Surah number 23, it's the first 11 verses, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ, indeed success has been attained and achieved by the believers. They are those who are conscious of God and humble in their prayers. They are those who turn away from vanity. They are those who give charity. They are those who safeguard their chastity. All right, they do not engage in lewd behavior, shameless acts. They are those who fulfill the trust that is given to them. They are those who keep their word and their promises. They are those who maintain the timings of their prayers. Those are the people that will inherit the highest levels of paradise, Jannat al-Firdaus. And then in Surah number 33, in the very beautiful ayah number 35, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, in al-Muslimina wal-Muslimat, the submitting men and women, al-Mu'minina wal-Mu'minat, the believing men and women, وَالْقَانِتِينَ وَالْقَانِتَاتِ, the obedient men and women to Allah, الصَّادِقِينَ وَالصَّادِقَاتِ, truthful men and women, صَابِرِينَ وَالصَّابِرَاتِ, patient men and women, الْخَاشِعِينَ وَالْخَاشِعَاتِ, humble in front of God, they are humble men and women, وَالْمُتَصَدِّقِينَ وَالْمُتَصَدِّقَاتِ, men and women who give charity, charitable, وَالصَّائِمِينَ وَالصَّائِمَاتِ, men and women who fast, وَالْحَافِظِينَ فُرُوجًا وَالْحَافِظَاتِ, men and women both who safeguard their chastity, their dignity, وَالذَّاكِرِينَ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا وَالذَّاكِرَاتِ, and men and women both who remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala abundantly and frequently. أَعَدَّ اللَّهُ لَهُمْ مَغْفِرَةً وَأَجْرًا عَظِيمًا, that indeed God has prepared for them forgiveness and a very great, powerful, beautiful reward. So these are the attributes of faith and belief in iman. And I had mentioned previously that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah number 32, ayah number 24, وَجَعَلْنَا مِنْهُمْ أَئِمَّةً, that we made from amongst them leaders, يَهْدُونَ بِأَمْرِنَا, to guide people by our command, لَمَّا صَبَرُوا, when they were patient. وَكَانُوا بِآيَاتِنَا يُوقِنُونَ, and they had full conviction in our signs and our verses. And the scholars mentioned that all these 30 qualities spread out throughout the Qur'an can be summarized within these two things that Allah mentions here, patience and firm belief and conviction. That the first one refers to the practice of their religion, that they are very consistent and stable and steady and patient and steadfast. And then yaqeen, that they have full conviction, and that represents their faith and their knowledge, the purity of their knowledge of Allah and the deen and the religion. So this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us about here. Now, in terms of some of the lessons that we can take from the verse that we've talked about here today, first of all, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about Ibrahim alayhi salam, all the attributes, all the qualities, all the characteristics of Ibrahim alayhi salam that we've talked about here. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, all the commandments Allah gave him, all the tests that Allah put him through, he fulfilled all the commandments, he lived by, you know, he fulfilled all the responsibilities, he lived by the code Allah gave him, and he passed all the tests Allah gave him. And Allah said that you are a leader of people. You are a leader of humanity. And even, of course, here, as I mentioned, the scholars say because he's a prophet of God, but even at a general level, because we have this principle, usul, aslu min usul al-tafsir, we have this principle of the interpretation and the exegesis of the Qur'an. And that is, al-ibratu bi'umum al-lafz, that we look at the generality of the wording that Allah uses. Of course, we do not ignore the context, right, or the pretext, but nonetheless, we do still study the exact wording that Allah uses and the generality of the wording, if it is indeed general. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses the word imam after talking about the admirable characteristics of Ibrahim alayhi salam. And from that, indeed, the scholars derive that it behooves us to follow people, to take knowledge from people, to entrust our deen and our community and our leadership and our congregations to people who embody to the best of their ability, because they're not going to be prophets, they're not going to be messengers, they're not going to be free from faults, but to the best of their ability, they are admirable in their faith, in the practice of their faith, in their qualities and their characteristics, that they are truly admirable. And that, albeit at a very small or distant level, but they are still basically on the blueprint given to us by the prophets of God, such as Ibrahim alayhi salam and the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. That is something very important that we look for in leadership. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَا يَنَالُ عَهْدِي الظَّالِمِينَ لَا يَنَالُ عَهْدِ الظَّالِمِينَ, that also we can take from that, and we can base off of that the idea, the very solid idea. And many of the scholars of the tafsir and the meaning of the Qur'an, Imam al-Jassas and others, they talk about this, that we indeed can take from this that not only... And another scholar of tafsir, Ibn Khwaizimandad, who's quoted as even saying, وَكُلُّ مَنْ كَانَ ظَالِمًا, that people who associate partners with God, people who disbelieve in Allah, people who are very publicly, you know, engaging in sinful and inappropriate and criminal behavior and activity, those who usurp and oppress the rights of others, violate the rights of others, لَمْ يَكُنْ نَبِيًّا, those are not prophets. The prophets were not people like that. وَلَا خَلِيفَةً, someone like that should not be entrusted with the official leadership of the Muslim Ummah. وَلَا حَكِيمًا, that ideally, as much as we can control the situation, those are not the people that we should entrust governance to. وَلَا مُفْتِيًا, those are not people that we should take the knowledge and the understanding of our religion from. وَلَا عَالِمًا, those are not authorities within our religion. وَلَا إِمَامَ صَلَاتٍ, he even goes as far as saying that if you have any say in that matter, you should not even entrust the leading of the prayer for the community, the congregation, to such a person. But rather, we look for the admirable qualities demonstrated by the messengers and prophets of Allah. And as a last couple of ideas and thoughts here that are very, beneficial that we get from this, is that, you know, and real quickly I wanted to talk about this, because people who are evil, and again, we can't look inside someone's heart, but their actions, their behavior, their conduct is evil, contradictory to the deen and the religion, they're going to call people to misguidance and to what is wrong. And the Prophet ﷺ told us, لا طاعة في المعصية, إنما الطاعة في المعروف. There's no obedience in sinfulness. Rather, obedience is only afforded to someone. You only follow and obey someone if what they're telling you to do is good. لا طاعة لمخلوق في معصية الخالق. It's like a principle of the religion that there is no obeying the creation when it necessitates, when it involves disobeying the creator. We do not do that. We do not engage in that. And lastly, something very interesting. The scholars say that Ibrahim alayhi salam, when he asked Allah, what about my progeny? He didn't say وَذُرِيَتِي, he said وَمِن ذُرِيَتِي, from my progeny. And that was Ibrahim alayhi salam's very realistic perspective that there will be good and bad from my own progeny. Good and bad. And that's some insight of Ibrahim alayhi salam, you see. And lastly, and this is present in multiple places in the Quran, and that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that Ibrahim alayhi salam, he even makes dua for his future generations. رَبِّ جَعَلْنِي مُقِيمَ الصَّلَاةِ وَمِنْ ذُرِيَّتِي. In surah number 14, surah Ibrahim, he makes a dua that, oh Allah, make me someone who establishes the prayer and from my progeny, from my offspring, from my generations to come, from my children, raise people who will also establish the prayer. And right away when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told him that you are a man of virtue, he right away worried about his future generations. So number one, it is not only very natural to worry about our future generations, but what we specifically have to learn from this is, while as a father, it's very natural for me to be concerned and worry about my children, but what I need to learn to do is focus some of that concern, most of that concern, not only on their financial, physical, emotional well-being, those are all very important, but above all else, their spiritual well-being. I have to be concerned about their spiritual well-being, the future of their iman. Their iman, their faith, their belief, their deen, their Islam, their practice of the deen and the religion. That is something we should be concerned about. Ibrahim alayhi salam demonstrates that. He illustrates that very beautifully here. So with that, inshallah, we will conclude the session here today. I know we only covered one ayah, but again, because this ayah had a lot to unpack and we've only just scratched the surface, I felt it was appropriate to take our time here, quality over quantity. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the ability to practice everything we've said and heard, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make the Quran our guiding light and our focus. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk.